It's Thursday, 18th of June, and you're listening to the Grincast from Game Grin. It's E3 week, and we've all had our fill. We've seen the conferences, seen the announcements, and the surprises, some of which blew people's minds. So that's what we're here to talk about. I'm your host, Cal, and we're unfortunately a few people down this evening, but as they say, the show must go on. Joining me for this E3 special is Fowler.
Hello, everyone.
And our new guest, Roof.
Hello!
Now, something completely different for this show. Instead of a fully fledged detailing of each conference, as there's only three of us this evening, I thought it would be nice for us to talk about what surprised us the most from each conference, as well as talk about what games are we most excited for this year and the next. So with all that said, what was the biggest surprise for you two at E3?
I would have to say either the new Tom Clancy open world game or the new South Park coming out. I actually was not expecting a sequel for that.
That came out of nowhere, the South Park one.
Yeah.
What was it called again?
Yeah, Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
The Fractured Butthole.
They didn't know the wordplay.
Yeah.
I just like the bit where he announces the Fractured Butthole. Which is Cartman giggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the Battlefront reveal. I was actually quite pleasantly surprised by that. I half expected that to be a look bit shitty, you know, cheap out maybe, but it looked really good.
I honestly wasn't too surprised by that, just because they've been putting a lot of emphasis on how much work they're putting into it. I'm still dubious about the whole pay to win thing, but it did look good.
What was the pay-the-win thing? I couldn't remember that.
Apparently, the usual stuff of pre-ordering, you get extra guns at the start and stuff like that.
Oh, God. The whole 90% of the E3 conferences that were on were basically, please pre-order. Pre-order for this, pre-order for that. And it was just like almost a competition just to see how many times you can put it up on the screen before it starts becoming maybe salimable messaging to everybody.
The only thing I will not complain about, or the people that did well, I don't know if you guys agree, is Fallout 4. The pre-order for that got me excited.
What was the pre-order? I can remember that.
It's a real-life Pip-Boy, but only with like one of the special fancy versions, which I'm sure will basically cost your
edition.
Firstborn child. Yeah. But no, I mean, speak as someone who has like never actually been interested in a Fallout game, I came out of that like that bit of the conference thinking, holy shit, I'm probably going to pre-order this.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're allowed to swear. But
you attach your phone to it, basically. It's a full-size Pip-Boy, too. It's pretty cool.
I don't want to know how much that's going to be. Probably about 100 quid at least, I'd imagine.
Yeah, probably. At least. Yeah, I mean, personally, I was also really impressed with the HoloLens from Microsoft. Because I'm personally not that into the virtual reality stuff. And I know, obviously, like, with the demo, it's not going to actually look that good in real life, but it was pretty cool, and they started actually using it on the table, and I have to admit, it might actually make me play Minecraft.
I actually thought the same, because I've never been really interested in Minecraft, but when they showed that off, but I mean, there'll be so many other games that you could potentially do that with, even if it's like, I don't know, Call of Duty or some random Battlefield or something like that. You got the HoloLens on, you can freaking zoom out, like Battlefield 4's got the Commander mode. So imagine doing the back Commander mode with the HoloLens. That'd be pretty damn sweet.
Well, I mean, even a simple game like Hearthstone, it'd still be cool to be able to like flip the cards yourself and stuff like that instead of a mouse. You could turn any simple game into something really cool with that.
Yeah, or like something like The Sims, for example, which kind of, you're always in that sort of, you know, God's eye view anyway. So like, using that with the HoloLens would actually, I think, work really, really well.
That would be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, actually.
That would certainly get a lot of people with God complexes to purchase it.
I'm definitely more interested in this than I was with like the whole Kinect thing, because that was actually a huge letdown when that actually did come out.
I'm glad they didn't actually talk about Kinect stuff. I don't think they talk about any of it.
Do you remember how they used to show like, in the ad they showed like a kid scanning his skateboard and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, that doesn't do that. Or the interaction with that... There's that kid that they interacted with.
Milo.
This looks... Yeah.
Yeah.
This looks a lot more promising. Like, they actually, I could see it being possible. They didn't try to bullshit their way through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Yeah, go on, Ruth.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think my one concern with the HoloLens is just that, like, it's so, I think it's different from, like, Project Morpheus and the Oculus Rift, which sort of work the same way, as far as I can tell. And so, I mean, I'd be worried that it might have a little bit of, like, the platform lag that you sometimes see, because it would be sort of a different kind of setup, but time it's Microsoft, and if anyone can pull developers to work for them, it's Microsoft, so.
Yeah.
I must admit, I do like the fact that Microsoft, instead of, because they could have just went out of nowhere and just went, you know, solid, we're just going to make our own VR headset, but they made that partnership with Oculus. And to be fair, everyone is doing a VR headset. You know, HTC's got one for Valve, and then you've got the Oculus, they've obviously got Sony's Morpheus. So it's really good the fact that Microsoft didn't follow them and make their own VR headset. They actually thought of something that would actually be surprisingly useful for just everyday computer use, not just some game thing.
Well, and I remember, like, last year around E3 it was, I think that was sort of when suddenly everyone was developing a VR headset, and so Microsoft had some sort of really, really hurried press release being like, no, 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 we're doing one too, definitely. And I remember the times they'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever, I mean, you're sort of late to the game, but now having sort of actually seen it in practice, I think I'm actually a little kind of curious about it.
I think when they first showed it off, it was one of their Microsoft conferences, and it had a guy watching a video, and he kind of stretched it out on the wall, and he held all these different tabs. I mean, that'd be like some really cool minority report sort of shit going on there. I'll be zooming out, pissing about, doing all this crazy stuff. But when they showed it off the games, the Minecrafts, that was pretty damn cool. Yep. Like we said, with the whole zoom in under. But they definitely made the right decision with not going with a stupid VR. But when they said, oh, the Oculus Rift is now going to support Xbox One streaming, I mean, when I watched the Oculus Rift conference, which was before E3, they sort of said, oh, it lets you play Xbox One games, but it's like a virtual room. So you sort of got the headset on, and then you see the room, and then you see the game on a big screen? It seemed really retarded. It's not actually making games VR on the Xbox One.
No, it was more like it's projecting its own, like, a fake screen, almost, right?
Yeah, that's the way I read it as well.
Yeah, and I think that is when the HoloLens kind of has up on that, is that, like, because you can just project it onto the wall and it's, you know, augmented reality as opposed to actual full-on VR tech. I mean, like, it's, I think, a little bit less gimmicky if, for example, you just, like, project Call of Duty or whatever onto the wall, as opposed to, oh, you're in a room playing it on a big screen that's all in virtual reality kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little disappointing that Sony didn't really show much of, I mean, they talked about the Morpheus. I don't know if you guys watched the Sony one, but they talked a bit like the Morpheus, a bit about it, but they didn't really show it off, or, you know, I was half expecting them maybe to actually give it an announcement on the release date or even a price, but we didn't even get any of that. But I mean, moving on, I'd say, who do you think out of the two? So you've got Sony's and you've got Microsoft. They're the two big boys, as you sort of say. But who do you think won out of those two?
For me, Microsoft.
Do you say Microsoft? What about yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of hard. I think definitely Microsoft made a lot more waves with the HoloLens, but at the same time, I've never been a huge fan of Microsoft's game lineup, and I'm a hardcore PlayStation person, so at the end of the day, I think for me it was maybe Sony.
So you say Sony were the best for, what, the games, and Microsoft for the tech?
Yeah, I think for games. I think, yeah, Sony didn't really show much off the way back.
I thought we were just talking about the tech. If that's the case, then yeah, Sony had me excited as well for quite a few things.
I think we might have to, because I don't know if you're too excited for, I mean, with the announcement from Sony being obviously they're doing a Shenmue 3, or more importantly, a Final Fantasy VII remake. But we could always come back to that in a little bit. I would say, comparing Sony and Microsoft, Microsoft definitely were way better when it came to the announcement of technology. They basically then proved that their Xbox One may be a bit shit compared to the PS4, but it's still they're making their way to improve it. So obviously they've got the Xbox 360 compatibility, which surprised me. I never half expected that. And this that Elite controller, ignore that.
I wasn't that impressed with the whole backwards compatibility thing, actually. That honestly, it shouldn't have taken that long. And it's like, really, you're trying to impress people with what your 360 could do with the original Xbox games?
Yeah, I mean, it felt a little bit like, oh, this is kind of a little bit too little, too late, because I think by now a lot of people have actually sold off their Xbox 360 games.
I never even thought
of that,
actually, yeah.
It's been like two, three years,
so.
Because loads of people are trying to just hold on to their Xbox 360s just until actually somebody comes out to convince them to buy an Xbox One. I think this is just basically their way to say, ditch your Xbox, you can now buy an Xbox One because you can play 360 games on it. But they obviously won't tell them exactly, you know, how many games are supported, because I think there's about 100 titles that are actually supported.
Yeah, he said only 100 right at, like, when they announced it at the conference. Which honestly isn't that impressive. When you think about
it. It's not, no.
Because, like I said, the 360 played all Xbox original titles, and that was on release. So, to me, it just seems like what they're trying to almost breed our minds to think, oh, this is an extra feature, even though it was a feature that was missing. It's not an extra feature. It's something that was actually should have been there in the first place.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It is very much that thing where they sort of took something away and then sort of tried to resell it to
later. That actually was
one
thing that really bothered me about E3 this year, was that they were so excited to announce it. It's like, really? That's what you've worked so hard towards, eh?
I think even the guy who, what was it, he was playing Mass Effect, he had such a smug grin on his face to say, look, I'm playing Mass Effect, a game that came out, like, launch Xbox 360 almost, and you can play it on your Xbox One. It's like, okay, now show us something else. Okay, remember that other launch Xbox 360 game you really liked? Well, we've gone and remade it. It's Gears of War. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the only thing I'm happy about with that is the PC version.
Yes, I read that too. That was quite nice to see about that. As long as they use Steam and not freaking Games Windows Live, because that's finally dead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I think if I had... I only played the first Gears of War. I didn't play the other ones, so I think that's the only reason I'm actually excited for a PC port. Otherwise, I'd just be like, well, I've already beaten it, so meh.
I'm a little disappointed that they didn't actually... I mean, they announced the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, but I'm a little disappointed that they didn't do a Halo on it. Why didn't they just do a Master Chief on it? You know, give us the Marcus Fenix collection. But I think I sort of imagine them maybe going along the line and going... Well, here's Gears of War 1, then a year later, here's Gears of War 2, then here's Gears of War 3, and so forth. It's just going to be more and more remastered editions.
Yeah.
At least I half expected them to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that either.
Did we want to touch on Nintendo, by the way, at all? With some of their interesting announcements?
Well, if you want to, yeah. So what would you think? I didn't actually watch the Nintendo thing. The Nintendo, the digital show, I think it's called, on YouTube. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, we did.
I'm not interested in Nintendo.
I did, and, yeah.
Oh, I did read...
Move on, no one cares about Nintendo. Yeah.
I did read that people got a little pissed off with it, though.
I'm pissed off about the whole, I know Ace would agree with me if he was here, the whole amiibo thing again coming out as a popular idea. But I was excited with some of the titles they finally decided to release. New Star Fox. I don't have a Wii U, but I would actually consider buying it just for a new Star Fox.
Yeah, well, I noticed it seemed to be a lot of translation ports as well. Especially with like sort of the two Fire Emblem ones, I think were... Yo-Kai Watches, which actually I was really looking forward to. Because that one was actually, it was really, really big in Japan, and then just, like, no one ever heard about it outside of Japan. But I have a friend who has it, and she was really, really excited about it. And I've sort of seen her play it enough that
I'm looking forward to that as well. Fire Emblem's one of my favorite series, actually, from Nintendo. I like the I saw the Mario and Luigi paper jam thing, and I thought that was actually a pretty cool idea. I don't know if do you know that series
yeah,
at all,
yeah,
Cal?
That
the
cool.
Paper Mario one.
Yeah, I do know of that. The only one I've played from years ago is the one that came out on N64, I think it was.
Yeah, so the series hasn't really changed much, but what they've done is they've taken the original Mario, like the 3D one. Mm-hmm. Not the original, kind of like they've done a combination. So you have Paper Mario with 3D Mario. And it actually looked like a cool idea. Stuff like your 3D characters can't reach certain places, so the paper ones do.
Oh, kind of like that Zelda game that came out where you have to kind of make yourself go flat against the wall.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. But you have, it's still the party turn-based system, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, that's one thing, because I remember ages ago, I had an emulator, a NES emulator, and there was a Mario game made by Square, which was basically Mario RPG, and I actually really enjoyed that game. So I might actually look into that a bit more. I did see the, what was it, the announcement of Mario Maker as well. That piqued my interest, because that would be quite funky to play. And sort of create your own Mario worlds. I'm surprised, you know, it's one of them games that's like, why didn't Nintendo make this freaking years ago? So, I'd be interested to see more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it will convince me to buy a Wii U, maybe.
Yeah. I'm considering it now, just, well, actually, I'm considering that and an Xbox One now, thanks to a bunch of games. But yeah, well, that actually got me hyped for consoles, surprisingly. I said I wasn't really looking forward to too much, but now that I've been surprised by quite a few of these, I'm definitely interested. Especially with that new Tomb Raider for Xbox One.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, I think that's probably the only moment I've considered getting an Xbox One is for that new Tomb Raider, but
is it coming out on PC and Xbox, or is it just going to be?
It's Xbox One, and then they're doing
it. I think it's a timed exclusive.
Yeah, timed exclusive. So it's kind of disappointing, but
I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it'll end up on PlayStation, but
well, I imagine it will, obviously, because it'll be they won't grasp on it for long. The public, you know, the company who makes it is it Square Enix is publishing it.
I think
it's Crystal Dynamics. Yeah, so they'll pretty much go
Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah, you've had your fun on Xbox. We're going to put it on PS4. We'll bring out a definitive edition. And it'll be probably better.
Mm.
I thought it was coming out on PC and Xbox One at the same time.
No, sadly not.
Well, that's a kick in the balls.
Yeah.
It really is. I've never understood
that's
the mentality
of
that, considering I still don't understand the whole disconnect between PC and Xbox when Xbox is owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you own both of them, so you actually really don't lose out if you
not at all.
Time it for Xbox and PC.
During the Microsoft conference, they were actually talking about a lot of stuff coming to Xbox and PC. So they even had trailers saying, you know, coming to Xbox One and PC. So it was quite nice for them to actually acknowledge PC gamers. As opposed to the typical shove it across and go, you guys might get it later.
A shitty port of it.
Yeah, as it is usually. I mean, I do like the fact when they announced the Gears of War one during the PC one, it's like, it's got 4K support. And I mean, technically, any game can run at 4K when, you know, the graphics card, you know, can run it at 4K. There's a way of forcing it.
Yeah. And honestly, how many people actually are running at 4K right now?
I know, right? There's always this push to say, oh, you can play your games in 4K, but you're going to need a 4K monitor, you're going to need a graphics card that has 4K, so on. It's going to cost you a lot of money. But yeah, 4K.
Yeah. Was anyone else looking forward to the new, what's it called? The Last Guardian.
Yes, I was going to say that. It didn't surprise me they would actually show up again. It's one of them. Sony's was a big old, like, it wasn't more of a case of, look, please understand, we love you. Here you go. Here's a bunch of fan service. And that's why they, boom, out of nowhere, they had freaking Last Guardian. And then obviously Shenmue and Final Fantasy, which we still will need to speak about. I'm not going to lie, it looks good with Last Guardian, but I don't think it'll be a game I'd want to play. Unless I actually see more gameplay of it, or actually more about it. But so far it just seems you play a small child, his best mates are Griffin or whatever it is, and you help each other out solve puzzles. That's about it to me.
Did you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
No, I did not, to be honest with you.
Oh, that might be it then, because it's the same creators. I think it was from the same studio.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Shadow of the Colossus kind of had that same feel, but once you actually start playing it, it's a completely different story. I don't know how they do it with that game. I honestly thought it was actually going to be a Shadow of the Colossus 2 when I saw the opening bit. But it's more about story for that. It does a really good job of tying your character, like the plot, to you actually enjoying it.
I'm probably going to get a lot of hate from some PlayStation fans, but I'm still not convinced, to be honest with you. It looks really good. It looks really nice. It's like a really pretty to look at, but it just seems like a very expensive indie title that's a bit obscure and that only certain people will enjoy it. But I don't know. I've got people I know have PlayStation and they're really excited for it, so maybe I'll check it out from them when it eventually comes out next year. But what about you, Ruth, considering you're a PlayStation fan as well?
I skipped on Shadow of the Colossus, and I keep meaning to pick it up because I know they did a PS3 port. But yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm kind of tentatively optimistic about it, I guess. It doesn't look bad, but it also, I think, as Cal said, it hasn't quite grabbed me from the trailer yet. But at the same time, it's like, I know enough about Shadow of the Colossus to know that I'm pretty confident I'll like it once I see more.
Yeah, I mean, we only got that quick trailer, right? Or the quick gameplay footage, I guess it was.
Yeah. It's one of those things I don't think I'll get up on release day, sort of at the moment, but I'll probably get it somewhere down the line.
I suppose it'll be one of them things just, you know, because everyone's been talking about it and saying, where are we going to see more of Last Guardian, etc., if it's ever going to come out. So it's, now that it's pretty much back on everyone's radar, I think just Sony's probably going to just wanting to show more and more of it to eventually when they actually reveal an actual release date next year. But I mean, keeping with Sony though, what about the announcement of obviously Final Fantasy VII Remake? What did we think of that? Unless, of course, you both didn't watch the trailer, which I hope you did.
I did, actually. And I'm kind of embarrassed how long it took me to figure out that was the Final Fantasy VII Remake
trailer.
But you
got the crowd worked up at first, though.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Everybody loves Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's a great franchise, everyone loves, everyone has fond memories of. And then they show off that little cartoony one that's coming to PS Vita and PlayStation before it. And everyone, and then they just get a few little claps from the audience.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Oh, yay. And he goes, and then there's this. Just watch. And then everyone's minds freaking blew from it.
Like, to be honest, I'm actually surprised they didn't sort of end the conference on it, because, like, it was such a big deal. Like, they had to have known that. I mean, it felt like it kind of overshadowed anything else that came afterwards.
After that, everyone was just sort of going, oh my god, oh my god. I mean, there's dozens of reaction videos. I mean, I'm not a fan of these videos, but if you go on YouTube, there's just people reacting to this announcement, just going, no, it's not. No, is it? Oh my god! And then just everywhere, just blown everywhere. So, I'm excited for it, but I still want to see how it's going to actually turn out, because they've tried to do loads of remakes in the past, and I've read... Most recently, they've said it might actually deviate from the original story. So whether or not they're going to change it up,
yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, I think this is one instance. Yeah, but this is one instance where I think, honestly, the better route would be basically just newer version with prettier graphics. I mean, 'cause I think the thing is that the original 7 is so ingrained in people's minds and hearts that changing it in any way is probably going
to
get a lot of fan backlash.
Stick to the story. I don't think they'll... I wouldn't surprise me if they'll get another petition come out and start saying, don't kill Aerith or something. Or Aerith. Don't kill her. They'll be like, no, that's part of the story. She's meant to die. What about yourself, Anna? What did you think? Or have you not seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer. I've never actually... I haven't owned any PlayStation since the second one. So I can't even say... I've played through the rest of the Final Fantasies. No. I'm honestly not an enormous fan of the Final Fantasy games. I don't know, it's just never really caught my interest. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that.
You might, but I mean, it's one of those little things, like, especially when people get their first PlayStations come out. So you've either got a Nintendo 64, you've either got a PlayStation. A lot of the times, most people's first games on that console was Final Fantasy VII, and that was like their first introduction to it. So I suppose why that's so fond in people's memories. But to me as well, with this announcement, it's also sort of Square Enix's trump card. It's like, we've got Final Fantasy XV come out, we've got this other Final Fantasy coming out, we've got all these other games coming out. If that fails, we know we're going to sell a shitload of copies of Final Fantasy Remake.
Yeah, it's a fallback, basically.
Yeah. If in doubt, remake.
Yeah, and I think after about Kingdom Hearts 3, I think is a little bit the same thing, where people who are into that series, because I have a lot of friends who are, are so into that series that you will basically buy that game no matter what.
I barely played through the second one, but I actually am really looking forward to that new one.
The new one actually does look really good, yeah.
But as you're saying, you're a pretty big fan of the series. Yeah. I played the first one when I was... God, that would have been a long time ago, but I really, really like the look of this one.
Yeah, I mean, after my, it's been ages since I've played either of them, because they came, like, the second one I came out, I can't remember how long ago, but at least 6 or 7 years?
That's been years.
It's
probably
amazing how long it's been with something. Yeah. Like.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
What about you guys think of, I don't know, because a lot of people will be wanting to, I don't know, a lot of people want Shenmue 3? I've never played the originals, to be honest with you. I know they're a little bit infamous because they were very popular and they were quite ahead of their time. But what do you guys think? Do you have any interest in Shenmue 3?
Not in particular, actually. No. That was originally a Dreamcast game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have to admit.
Yeah, it came out on Xbox as well, I think. I don't think it ever got a PlayStation release. I think it was just a Dreamcast and Xbox release.
Yeah, I admit, it's one of those ones where it's like, it was before my time, I think. Because I didn't start really getting into video games until sort of, I don't know, probably like 2005, 2006. So I think I kind of skipped over it. So I don't really have any particular feelings about it. But at the same time, like, the Kickstarter got funded in like 30 hours or whatever.
That?
So
I don't understand that.
Clearly people want it.
They did all this build up and just like, saying, yes, there's Shenmue 3. And then they were like, it's a Kickstarter. And then I read recently, they were just like, yes, literally yesterday, I read that Sony are funding it as well. So they did a Kickstarter, which obviously met their goal within a day. And then Sony are still funding them for it.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Mm.
Yeah, that felt
well,
very
from a franchised game as well, that's been around since early Dreamcast. Why did you need that Kickstarter? Your reputation should have been enough to get a company behind you, right?
I think that was more of a case that they know people would put money into it. It's like the guy who created Castlevania, his new game made freaking millions from Kickstarter. And you've also got the Banjo-Kazooie successor, which also made millions. I think it's just Sony just thinking, we can save a bit of money here. Let's get other people to pay for it. And they probably just end up just maybe just giving them some money and then maybe pay for the marketing. Because they did say it's coming to PlayStation first.
Yeah, I think that's my theory, Cal. And I think also it's sort of a little bit of PR as well. I mean, that Kickstarter made big news. And I think when it got funded so fast, that just sort of drew more attention to it.
No, yeah, I can't see why they actually needed a Kickstarter. I mean, if Sony was willing to back them, then I'm sure this was already going on under the... Well, not under the table, but in the background. That they were saying, well, let's just make a new one.
They've probably been working on it for freaking ages. Because they've said it's using... They've already detailed what's you know essentially what it's about and what game engine it's running. What the guy who's created it has all done all this work on it already. So I think it's just Sony saying, hold off your announcement, we'll do a Kickstarter, and then we'll announce it on our show, and then we'll get loads of money. Loads of money.
All about that money.
All about that money.
Yeah.
So are we pretty much happy talking with Microsoft and Sony? Should we sort of discuss the other conferences? I don't think we touched much on Fallout 4 from Bethesda. Apart from Fallout 4, what about the other two announcements? Well, I suppose they're not really big announcements, but partially are. Doom and Dishonored 2, which did incidentally get a little bit leaked before their show.
I have actually not yet played the first Dishonored, and I've really wanted to.
You need to play Dishonored. It's a freaking awesome game.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, I'm very pumped for Dishonored 2. It does mean I actually have to finish the first one, though. unfortunately, because that game is hard and I'm really terrible at it. But yeah, no, I'm really, really pleased with the what I've seen of Dishonored 2. And same with Doom, to be honest. Even as someone who never really had a whole lot of interest in that series.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed they didn't actually show any proper gameplay of Dishonored 2, I think. It must be maybe not ready yet, pretty much, but it was good to see a nice trailer and a bit, a few more details about it, that you play the girl from the first one, you save and protect. So I like the fact they are continuing the story and putting more attention into it. Doom proper caught me by surprise. I didn't expect it to be that good looking, to be honest with you. I mean,
surprised.
It looked a bit dark and gritty for my taste, because I was half expecting it to be maybe a bit less brown, maybe a bit more colourful. But it is Doom after all, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's more this. It's that's all because of the setting as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's when you look at the trailer, he's surrounded by stuff that's on fire constantly. So that's supposed to be like an ashen, kind of sooty place, right? That's what I think. That's why they went with the whole kind of dull color.
It made me kind of think it was a, because it's on Mars, so I half expected maybe they're mining Mars. That's what that is. That's underground, an underground basement base or something. No, I mean, the trailer looked awesome. The gameplay looked great, and some freaking brutal gore in it when it came to ripping the demons apart. That was pretty insane.
Yeah,
I love the fact that when it first showed off. Yeah, in the show, and every time we
really graphic,
tore apart
yeah.
one of the creatures, the crowd just went, "Whoa!" It was like, "Whoa, that's awesome."
I think a lot of people are looking forward to too as well. Like the whole the Doom series has been known for putting in cool weapon kills and stuff like that, right? Like the I think one of their weapons, I can't remember which one, has always been on the top 10 video game weapons of time.
Oh, the BFG.
That might have been, it was that.
Yeah, right at the end, yeah. The big fucking gun.
Yeah.
But, like, that scene with the chainsaw gun, even. Or that's not really a gun, chainsaw. But that chainsaw thing, yeah, I think is cool.
I like the fact it does seem like a big overhaul and sort of, I mean, it's not Doom 4, it is essentially a reimagination of the franchise. So it's going back to its old school, because I was reading some more details. And it's got a level creator in it, so the maps can be like really massive and open-ended, so you can do co-op in it between different people. So it looks pretty damn good. And if anything to go by, because it uses the id Tech engine, and if you've played Rage or the most recent Wolfenstein, the freaking gunplay and combat is awesome in that. So from what
it
I've seen
feels
so
really
far,
solid.
It's really good, really good, and I'm looking forward to it.
You actually feel like power behind the weapon, right?
Let's hope they actually announce this beta that they promised with Wolfenstein, which I will keep mentioning.
That's because you've got yours for free, right?
I got mine for free.
Yeah, no, I'm impressed so far. I was a little skeptical when they only showed like that quick 2-second trailer of the whatever it was with the guns on its back, the skeleton, basically. But now I'm a little more impressed.
No, I'm definitely impressed. Yeah.
Yeah, and they teased it last year too, so I think I was with Fowler and kind of on it before I actually saw the actual proper gameplay footage, but now I think it looks really
and
good.
And even like
very
some of the
promising.
Non-boss fights looked pretty, he had like glowing green things on him, he pretty much looked like a Belcher from Left 4 Dead 2 or something. Even those just look like fun to play against.
Yeah.
Like they've got some cool little mini boss fights going on.
Yeah, and it was quite cool with the, especially in the gameplay trailer, where it showed off, like, switching between weapons. It did that slight slowdown before you chose his weapon and just powered through. So it seems to just constantly keep it fast-paced and moving instead of you having to, you know, stand there and try and go for your inventory. It's just like, slow down, pick a weapon, grab it, and then take out a shitload of demons.
It still has it has the classic Doom feel to it. Because that's what Doom was, like the whole fast pace, just
definitely.
Running
yeah.
and gunning.
Definitely. And the nostalgia as well when he opened the doors.
Yeah, because I think...
The old door opening.
Yeah. Well, I think, someone I was watching the stream with was one who was saying like, oh, it's the sound effect from the original Doom, and they're really excited about that.
Yeah, I do like when games touch up on the nostalgic.
A lot of it is just massive fan service as well at the end of the day.
Nothing wrong with that, though, as long as it's not too overdone.
As long as it's done right.
Yeah.
So what about Fallout 4 then? So we actually got our full-fledged sort of gameplay demo showing you your character, how do you make your character. You can be a woman, you can be a man, you can be black if you want to, which was a bit random.
Yeah.
But they're all completely voiced. So both characters are voiced and you can give the dog commands and the dog probably will die. So what did we
find out? I found out the dog does not, it can't die.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I was very happy about that.
That
yeah.
Twitter, which made me happy.
When a character dies, who cares? But when a virtual dog dies, no.
You can't kill the dog.
That yeah. virtual dog's innocent, you know? That dog did nothing wrong.
I'm honestly actually. Really excited for that now. I was still kind of skeptical just because there wasn't much out. I always kind of remain impartial to it until I see more of it, but it looks really good.
There were some really good ideas coming from it as well. It's not necessarily like copying everybody else, but they showed off the so you can build your own structures and own little towns and things like that. So a lot of people thinking, oh, it looks like one of them survival games like your Ark, you were saying, but
yeah.
This is a single player focused game, so it's something yeah. that you're basically building your own freaking base of command.
Yeah, I really liked it just because it wasn't the. I think what makes it good is that it's not the central focus of it. It's just kind of like no. a side feature.
Yeah, exactly. It's something completely optional. I mean, you can pretty much kill someone in their home and then just use that as a base. Which you could just kill anyone in Fallout 3 and just use their base.
I actually liked the streamer Gold Glove tweeted out saying, I will be opening the best brothel in Fallout 4. Applicants need not apply. I was like, that's brilliant.
The crafting system was quite good as well. The fact that you can just combine whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that.
When mods come out, that's just going to have a massive field day with that. You're going to find so many freaking custom mods of weapons and whatnot. And with mods as well, they've said that that's coming to Xbox One as well and PS4 eventually. I just think, well, how's that going to work? Especially when you look at all the shit mods that are on Skyrim and Fallout at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work out too well. I think, if anything, they'll take the top 5 picks for mods and they'll port those will be the ones that get ported over.
It
won't just be like, here's a yeah. list of things.
I think it'd be more like, have you ever heard of there's a Lego service, which basically people make custom Lego kits and it goes through to a Lego site and it's voted. So if it gets something like, I think it's like 10,000 votes, Lego would consider it as making it into an official product. So I half expected them maybe do something very similar so that, you like, especially with like the Nexus mods, if you've been on the Nexus mods website, there's endorsements. So if you've got the mods on yeah. there, someone likes, oh, this is a great mod, like the custom textures or the skin or the re-changes in the story. If they go, oh, I'll endorse that, that will obviously be put by to Bethesda, and they'll go, yeah, this is good. Yeah, okay, we'll add that into the game. So I'd imagine it being more like that than someone going, can I have a My Little Pony in it? And then someone going, no. Just like turning the dragons into My Little Ponies in Skyrim.
God.
Which is just nightmare fuel.
The one thing I was not happy about was the shelter.
I'm sort of curious.
Fallout shelter, the mobile thing.
Yeah,
and the only reason I'm pissed off is that I couldn't play it on my Android.
Yes, me too. I was like, oh, that looks awesome. iPhone only. What?
Yeah, no, same, yeah. Especially, they weren't super clear that it was iPhone only when they announced it. Yeah, there was
they're releasing.
Yeah, they said, out now. Downloading
yeah,
in
no,
the store.
They did say they're releasing it for Android, but we'll have to wait a couple months.
Yeah, I saw that tweet too. And they were just like, oh yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take a few months. I was expecting maybe just a couple of days, maybe a week or two. But months is it's horrible because it looks so good. I need someone to curb my addiction at work when I'm playing games on my phone.
And like to me, it's like, well, a couple months. It's been announced for November 10th, like the actual Fallout 4. So it's already June. So a couple months. So we're going to get this app 2 months before the game release. That's kind of...
Maybe they might do a little thank you for waiting. Well, maybe all Android users getting a little bonus, maybe.
Apparently the big delay between it is actually from what I've read, is that it's easy to do for iOS devices because they all have the same screen size, pretty much.
Yeah, that's whereas the problem with Android iOS stuff. And Android. The trouble with iOS is because it runs on a unified operating system, they always, Apple always set these rules and standards saying it has to do this, it has to do that, it has to do this. But because there's so many freaking Android phones with different processors and different versions of Android, it's not unified. And so developers have to fucking spend more time getting it work on Android. So even on my phone, I've got a freaking LG phone, and that's like the latest version of Android. There's apps that still pop up and say, this isn't compatible, yet it works on Android 4.
Yeah. I really want to play Shelter. It looked like fun.
I know, it looks so good.
I watched an iPad a couple of months back. That really sucks.
You got rid of it?
Yeah, I sold it. I got bored of it.
Yeah, I know actually a streamer who, she actually bought an iPad specifically for that.
She's a big Fallout fan. No, I wouldn't go out and buy another one for it.
No, some people can't wait.
Yeah.
Although I do tell a lie, I did buy a GTX 980 for Witcher 3.
That's worth it, though.
That's worth it. So yes, Fallout 4, November 10th, which is a bit of an unusual date. I mean, it's really good for people because it's saying, oh my God, it's coming out this year. But did you notice that other titles are also coming out on the exact same day? That Tomb Raider got announced on November 10th as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember what else came out, but I think there was one other game that also got announced for November 10th. I can't remember what it was.
In other words, any ideas? Games is going to be flooded in GameStop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my bet is that it's for Black Friday weekend in the States. That's, I think, like basically 2 weeks down the line from that. So they'll be all, you know, primed and ready for people spending shit tons of money. Yeah. And, you know, fighting each other in Walmarts.
I already know, at least from what I've seen, that's going to wipe the sales compared to, like, the Tomb Raider will sell well, but, I mean, if they're coming out the same day, it's going to be Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, I think that, like, Bethesda doesn't churn out a ton of products, but what they do, especially with sort of, like, the big open world stuff,
because
sells,
they
like,
do
fucking
it well.
Hotcakes.
I mean, yeah. Because I didn't actually get to watch the Bethesda conference at real time. I had to watch it afterwards, and all I saw on Twitter was people saying, well, no point in watching the rest of E3 now.
Yeah.
Everyone's just so impressed.
I would say Bethesda, for the first go, pretty much nailed it. Their first go at doing their own little conference, they nailed it. They didn't make any cock-ups. They gave us what we wanted. They weren't just going to dilly-dally with all this. They said, here's Doom, here's Dishonored 2, and then, whoop, watch this, shut up, and enjoy Fallout 4.
And we'll just take
it.
Your money.
Yeah, it's just, shut up and take my money, because you're going to bring out a Pip-Boy Collector's Edition. Which I might just be very fucking tempted to buy, actually.
I think I will be. And I'm not a
unless
big
unless they come out and say
collector's edition.
It doesn't work with Android.
Oh, God. It better.
I'd cry.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't, then I'll get you know, an iPhone and a Pip Boy. But
cheap, crappy
hopefully
iPhone
won't come to
see
that.
It doesn't work.
Yep.
So, apart from, because we've spoken a lot of Bethesda, what else do you think of all the other guys? We spoke a little bit about EA. I mean, any of you guys interested in Mass Effect when that first got showed off?
I've said before I'm not a big fan of the series, personally. I couldn't... That was another game I just couldn't get into. I don't know if it could just be that it's because it's a whole single-player thing.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a huge, huge Bioware fan. And I have to admit, like, I'm a little bit on Andromeda. It just isn't quite grabbed me yet. And admittedly, we don't know a ton about it. But, yeah, I think also after the ending of Mass Effect 3, I'm just a little bit burned out on the series.
Yeah, I feel a little bit the same with the Mass Effect. Mass Effect 3 was just a big old it was sort of a big fuck you to the end of the franchise. I mean, they did try to fix it, and it did make it a little bit better, but I actually want to see... I half expect it to be like Dragon Age, Dragon Age Inquisition. So my imagination on the new Mass Effect is it being like that, as opposed of your... I don't know if you played Inquisition, but obviously you've got your main castle, your main keep, and from there you've got your war table. So that essentially, your war table will essentially be your galaxy map, set up missions, do quests, things like that, and then you can just travel around. And then you take your party with you, and then the whole freaking area is open world, so you've got your Mako vehicle. So I'm sort of imagining it being pretty much like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is that, like, Mass Effect 3, for all that I wasn't a fan of, like, how it ended, was, like, a very solid, good ending place for the series. Yeah. And so partly it's just... Yeah, it's partly just, like, I'm just not really sure where the story's meant to go from here. I mean, because, like, you know, it worked really, really well as a trilogy in my mind. And so I feel like adding on this new one is a little bit jumping the shark.
Jumping the shark. Yeah, I suppose that's what usually happens when you run out of ideas. But didn't they say, like, because they said Shepard's story's finished now. So this is going to be pretty much a new protagonist. So
yeah.
I'd imagine them being like, you can, because we said this in another podcast, we were sort of saying, I half expect it being, you can make your own custom character, so you can be one of any of the races. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
It's actually, no, they announced you can only be human, unfortunately, because, I would have signed on board if, I would have signed on board if it would have been like Aquarian. But, it's supposedly it's set, I think, very far in the future from the ending of 3, but it just means that you sort of even have less of a clue of what's actually going to be the storyline. So.
That's the thing I never understood with them, is why are you stuck playing as, like, a one specific race, considering it's full of other races?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when you look at, like, Elder Scrolls and all that stuff, whenever you, almost all the races you encounter, you can play as.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of different. I mean, yeah, okay, it is sort of similar, but the only thing I really noticed with Skyrim and Elder Scrolls and Oblivion or whatever, when you chose one of those races, it kind of just really just only changed the dialogue. I mean, yeah, they had their own little abilities. Like, if you were the cat person, I mean, you could see in the dark, and then some other ones could do this and that. It's been ages since I played, to be honest with you.
I enjoy those subtle changes, though.
The dialogue was slightly different as well. Like, if you were Lord, then people would like you more, and if you were someone else, they didn't like you. I can't remember.
Well, it's this... Yeah, actually, because in Inquisition, you could play as multiple races as well, and I actually really like that, because you got very different dialogue options sometimes. Like, for example, anything to do with religion, if you're not human, it's a much more interesting discussion, because you're basically most likely not part of that religion. So, I mean, like, obviously BioWare does know how to do it, but yeah, I was a little bit bummed that you can only be human in this one. It's an opportunity for people.
Oh, we had a little break up there from you.
Yeah, I think we had a break up there.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Basically, I don't want to be pretty much. Humans are boring.
When you take that option away, I think that might be one of the things that I lost interest was. It was very strict in that sense.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, plus it's a perfect opportunity. It's one of them universes that they could do so much with if you could choose which race you wanted to be. But I think they're just sticking to I think it might be a case of, because they're going to obviously have a male and female, they just want to save money by only having two voice actors. Because it's going to be entirely voice recorded, so they're not going to have someone doing the voice of a Krogan or a Quarian or whatever else. So they're just going to be like, no, fuck it, just have them human.
But then again, they did that for Inquisition. I mean, they just had the two voice Which options for each gender. And you could...
Yeah.
Oh my god, I hated those voices, but you know, I dealt.
If you didn't know Fowler, if you haven't played Inquisition, the two voices are basically American and English accent. That's all it was.
Oh.
They were just awful. And it was like a really posh
English. So they cheaped out on the voice acting?
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, American sounds horrible and doesn't seem right. Then English just sounds really horribly like everything's emphasized. And it's just like...
It's almost like someone pretending to have an English accent.
Almost, yeah.
It was that very like overly proper English accent, so it kind of it felt, I think, a little bit too high class for a lot of character options. But yeah,
especially didn't look right on what's he called, the big brute guys with the horns. Yeah, it.
Kunari,
I created one
yeah.
of those at first, and I thought, yeah, he looks like a badass. Chose the voice. No, I'm just gonna go human. It's just easier.
That actually is a big thing for me too in games. Is like the voice acting behind your character can make a huge difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of my favorite things about the Monster Hunter series was you always got this huge selection of 20 different like shouts and stuff that you got. I love that.
Amazing to go through. That's so funny.
But that's
every
what
Japanese
I love about
game
it.
Is like that. It's like when you play Dynasty Warriors and you choose your character on that and you make a custom one. You've got like 20 different voices to go through. And it's just the same yells and shouts, as you said.
Yeah.
More games should do that.
Yeah. It just gives that little bit more selection or customization to your character that you get to pick what they even sound like.
Or alternatively, you just get Troy Baker and be happy with it.
I'd rather have Sean Bean.
Sean Bean would be amazing to voice everything.
He did. He did that new horror game, but it wasn't. It was meh. Sean Bean was good, but the actual gameplay was very, very slow.
Sean Bean's amazing in everything until he dies.
Yeah, in everything.
Yes, I was gonna say, but I mean, if you voiced a character, you'd know the ending. You'd die. So
pretty much. It's like in the first Oblivion when Sean Bean does the voice of the next king and you go all your way to track him down.
I half expect
him just to die at the end and be like, oh, that'd be a short game.
I actually
you
think
just find him dead.
More of these games need to invest in people like that, like Sean Bean. I forget what game it is that's coming out that or is already out. That
or just
has
Patrick Stewart as well do everyone.
The guy from Game of Thrones. God, what's his name?
Who?
The Lannister, Tywin Lannister. No, Tywin. He's done voice acting for a character now, and it actually sounds really good. I think they need to get more of those kind of people into this because they know how to pretend. Like they're just really good at pretending their voice.
You mean Peter Dinklage?
No. His father.
Oh, the other guy. Charles Dance.
Yeah, him.
He did the voice of the king in The Witcher 3.
Yeah, it was The Witcher. That's where it was. Yeah. I think more games need people
really
like that.
He does a really great job of it. I was going to say, not have Peter Dinklage, because he did the little thing in Destiny. That was just so boring. He's like, just give me the lines. Yeah, there you go. Okay, have fun. Just make it robotic. Done.
Yeah. But in some cases, I think they really do. They should pick up some of these people. Can you imagine having Liam Neeson as a voice actor in a game?
Well, he did the voice of the dad in Fallout 3. Yeah, you don't remember?
No.
He was your father in Fallout 3.
I'm going to have to go back and play through that.
Is he going on a quest to fight some Albanian gangsters and come find you again?
No, if I remember right, how was it? You wake up, your dad's gone missing, and that's why you venture out of the vault in Fallout 3, because you have to try and go find him. And I think right at the end, I think, spoilers, but then again, it's been out for freaking ages, he sacrifices himself, if I remember right, to try and save you from some shit. And then there you go, end of game. That was Liam Neeson in Fallout 3.
Yeah, I'm just going through it now, actually. That is actually really surprising. I didn't recognize him. But that's why it makes the game so good, I guess. Or why I enjoy the voice acting so much in that.
Exactly. I like it when celebrities do games. Especially like celebrities like, you know, like we said, Liam Neeson, Sean Bean, because it shows that even they have somewhat an interest in games development. They're not just for kids. They can actually be works of serious acting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think the thing is that, like, because I noticed it, because, like, I think in Japanese games in particular, you have a really, really strong trend of having really, really good voice actors. Or, let's say, it's a much more, like, you have more voice actors in, like, countries like Japan than I think we do over here. And so I think partly it's just we need to like invest more in just having people who do it.
Pretty much. We moved on to quite an interesting topic, but there's
not quite
not
E3 anymore.
But I mean, it's good though, because I knew we were going to move away from, because we can't just constantly talk about E3, but I do agree with you. I mean, the one thing I do hate about Japanese voice actors is it's like with anime. It just, I'd rather watch a dubbed version of an anime than a Japanese version, because I just not keen on the voices sometimes.
Oh, the voice actor.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite.
I was gonna say the English voice actor for Full Metal Alchemist is actually one of my favorite voice actors of all time.
Yeah, I'd much rather that. The only annoying thing is sometimes a lot of these when they're dubbing anime, because they've got to try and mouth or sync with the mouths, they have to add in like or sighs and to try and match their speech. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes me laugh. We moved on to a little bit of an off-topic, but we're certainly happy to speak more about E3, unless you've got something else to say, Fowler. I think you were about to say something.
No, I was going to say the exact same thing as you. I don't. Did we see anything from Blizzard? I don't think we did for this year's E3, did we?
No. I mean, what about the PC gamer? Did you? I know we were saying earlier that it was supposed to start at 1 o'clock. And then it ended up getting freaking delayed by an hour. So did you guys get a chance to have a look into that at all? And see any of their reveals?
I watched the trailers out of it, but I didn't actually watch the stream. So.
Yeah, I only saw the trailer. It looked a bit boring, to be honest with you. A lot of the stuff I saw... I mean, there was a trailer for Killing Floor 2, which is already out on Early Access. Quite surprised to see the... What is it? Red Orchestra Vietnam. That might be worth checking out. But a lot of the other stuff, saw some Deus Ex gameplay, Gears of War got announced for PC. It wasn't really that great, other than that, from what I've read.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it's basically about half of it was stuff that you'd already seen from other conferences that happened, like, the day before. So it did feel like it didn't really miss much.
Yeah. It was all kind of rehashed stuff, like the... they also had Dirty Bomb, but that's already in Early Access. I was smacking my head on the table when Bohemia showed their new map, of course. It was not a happy camper.
Were you not happy with that? Because I thought you were getting a little excited for that. You were saying it's because it's really good.
I was hoping that they would go back to... Because people do not like this whole subtropical island stuff. Like, a lot of people are sick of it. They want the old Trinaris kind of Russian... Wow. Feel to it, and this is another tropical map.
Oh dear. Well, we say then overall the PC gamer event was a little bit disappointing, but then after reading a lot of people's comments, it does show that other people said the same thing. It was just basically reconfirmation of, oh, by the way, these are also coming to PC.
I mean,
will they give it
from
another
what I've heard, the conference itself was actually handled pretty well, but I think, yeah, they just didn't have content for it.
Nah.
Or if they did, it was in other companies. Like, other companies had already presented everything. Like, even, I think, DayZ, which is a big PC title, that was presented earlier in the E3 conference by Bohemia as a separate thing from the PC gaming show.
Yeah, exactly.
That also had me smacking my head on the table.
I also did read that Valve were actually invited to the conference, and they turned it down.
The PC gaming one?
Yeah. They sent an invite to Valve, and they were like, nah, you're going to be shit. And
they were.
Well, hopefully Valve will actually show off something very decent, maybe GDC or something much later on.
Half-Life 3?
Yeah.
Half-Life 3?
Well, they've got their...
Or Half-Life 2 episode 3.
They've got their
3.
Steam machine again, yeah.
Well, there is things knocking about, especially with Dota 2, I believe. Dota 2 got a big new change. Dota 2 Reborn. I don't know if you guys are interested in that.
Yeah.
No?
I don't follow it very closely, but I did hear about that.
Well, Source 2, though.
I think there's, like, the open... Yeah.
Oh, well. So, here's the final question for you guys before we wrap things up. Who won the show? Or, alternatively, what was your game of the show?
I'm going to have to say Fallout 4.
What about you, Ruth?
I think I'm going to go for one that we haven't actually mentioned yet.
Oh, okay.
Horizon Beyond Zero, whatever.
Oh, yes. Completely missed that.
The robot dinosaur one, yeah. Sorry, Horizon Zero Dawn.
That was
it.
I should have mentioned that. I completely forgot about it.
It looks so fucking cool.
Yeah, that was something in my mind.
Like, it came out of nowhere for me, and I'm so pumped for that now, I have to admit.
The only thing I'm concerned with that one, though, is... It looks like obviously set years in the freaking future where everything's gone to shit and they've got all these robot dinosaurs, but how do people survive? Because it doesn't look like there's no food or animals that they can actually hunt. Because they're saying they're going on a hunt and they're all mechanical. Like, how are they going to eat?
Yeah, that is partly why I'm actually kind of curious about this. Like, why are you hunting the robot dinosaurs, for example?
Yeah. Which I'm sure we'll find more.
Like, I'm wondering, is like, are you sort of like cannibalizing them for parts or something? Maybe.
Possibly.
Like,
maybe they've turned all vegan and vegetarians. I'm sure we'll find out more. But it does look pretty good, and it's Guerrilla's new IP. So finally, they've removed the shackles of Killzone and actually made something that looks like they're really passionate about. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
I'm noticing.
I wouldn't say it's my game of show though.
This year's theme is becoming like, you know, we've had zombies for the past 3 years or four.
Definitely,
it's going to be dinosaurs for the next four.
Oh, especially after Jurassic World.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Yeah.
So, yours is the Horizon, Roof. What was yours, Fallout? Again, sorry,
Fallout 4 for sure. Yeah,
clearly Fallout 4. I can't decide, to be honest with you. Part of me really wants to say Fallout 4 as well, and I think I'm going to settle on Fallout 4, because more to the fact that it's one of those games that I will probably spend a shitload of time either modding or playing. So I'm going to settle on Fallout 4. So with all that said and done, it's time to end the podcast. So we had a lovely conversation, didn't we all?
Definitely, yes.
We did.
It's a bit different, certainly, when there's only the three of us. However, if you would like to learn more about GameGrin, then you can follow us on Twitter at GameGrin, or check out the website for news, reviews, and gameplay at GameGrin.com, and as well as Facebook by searching GameGrin. I suppose it's easy as that. Maybe add us as a friend. My name's Cal, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, for silly reasons if you want to, you can follow me at CalMine. And I've been joined by with the always welcomed Canadian Fowler.
Thanks for having me, and my Twitter is actually at ValorFire as well.
And our new special guest, Roof.
Hello, it's great to join you. I would give you my Twitter, but involves spelling out my last name, which feels a little bit silly. But yeah.
Fair enough. Well, with that said, it's till next time. Enjoy yourself and have a good time, and keep your money in the wallet. Don't be going out and pre-ordering the games. So,
except for Fallout 4.
Except for Fallout 4.
Yeah, except for Fallout 4.